This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Today is a day of Jumu'ah, and we are encouraged on this day to recite Surah Al-Kahf. Our Prophet ﷺ tells us many of the benefits of reciting and connecting to this surah. He tells us, "من قرأ سورة الكهف في يوم الجمعة أضاء له نور ما بين الجمعتين." He said, "Whoever recites Surah Al-Kahf on the day of Jumu'ah, Allah will strike forth for them a light that will enlighten between their two Jumu'ahs. From one Jumu'ah to the next, Allah will give this person a light." And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us to memorize Surah Al-Kahf. And he told us in one hadith, "من حفظ عشر آيات من سورة الكهف عصم من فتنة الدجال." That whoever memorizes 10 verses from Surah Al-Kahf is protected from the fitna of a Dajjal, from the tests and the trials of the Antichrist. And in one hadith, the Prophet says to memorize the first 10 verses of the surah. And another hadith, he says to memorize the last 10 verses of the surah. Now, what is the connection between this surah and between Ad-Dajjal? What is the connection between this surah and between Allah giving you a light in your week? This surah has four different stories, and each story tackles a form of fitna, a form of test and trial and tribulation. One, the fitna in regards to people's religion, the young people who ran to the cave. Another, a test in relation to wealth and how does wealth change people. Another is a test in our knowledge. How do we deal with the fact that we don't know everything and sometimes bad things happen? The story of Musa and Al-Khidr. And then finally, the test of power. How do we deal with power when we have it? Which is the example of Dhul-Qurnayn. And today I want to speak about the second story. Wealth, money, the fitna of wealth and money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the story of the man who has two gardens. And before introducing this story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us something else. He speaks to us about paradise. He says, "إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ إِنَّا لَا نُضِيعُ أَجْرَ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ عَمَلًا." That indeed those who believe and do good deeds, we will never lose the reward of those who have done goodness. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ." They will have جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ, the permanent jannat, the permanent gardens. تجري من تحتهم الأنهار, flowing beneath them will be the rivers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes all of these amazing things about Jannah, about paradise. نعم الثواب وحسنة مرتفقة, that it is the best reward and it is the best resting place. Then after speaking to us about Jannah, the real Jannah, the Jannah in the next world, then he speaks about this man and his two gardens. Then he speaks about the Jannah in this world, the gardens of this world. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابٍ وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرْعًا. Allah says, give them the example of two men. One of them, we gave him two gardens. Both of these men have gardens. Two men, one, both of them have gardens. But one of them was given double. He had two gardens. And not just that he had gardens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you about his gardens. In it is a'nab, many grapes. And grapes is the most luxurious, the most expensive, the most difficult to cultivate of all the fruits is grapes. It requires a lot of water. Allah is telling you he had two gardens, and in the gardens he has the most prized of all the fruits, grapes. وَحَفَفْنَاهُمَا بِنَخْلٍ. But he tells you even more than that. We gave him date palms. But we didn't just give him the date palms. We bordered his garden with date palms. All around the borders of this garden are the date palm trees. And if you've seen the date palm trees, they're extremely tall and extremely sturdy and strong. The best protection for a garden, if you're worried about the wind harming your garden, the rain and the wind and the storm destroying your garden, the best protection would be a wall of these trees all around it. So Allah is saying, not only did we give him the date palms, we gave it to him in an arrangement that protected his garden. وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمَا زَرَعًا. And then Allah says, in between them we gave him many crops. So it's not just the beautiful dates. It's not just the beautiful grapes as well. No, all kinds of crops, filled with crops through all of them. كِلْتَا الْجَنَّتَيْنِ آتَتْ أُكُلَهَا وَلَمْ تَظْلِمْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, each of these two gardens we gave him, they are producing their fruit and they do not fall short at all. Both of these gardens are producing the maximum amount of fruit that they can. They are yielding the maximum output of fruit. There's no shortage. There's no spoilage. Every farmer worries about spoilage. Every farmer is worried, I'm going to plant the seeds and nothing is going to grow. Every farmer is worried, I'm going to plant the seeds and water it, and then it grows, and then there's some pests who come and eat it. Some animals come and eat the whole thing. Some insects come and ruin everything that I've grown. Every farmer is worried, a storm, wind is going to come and blow away all of my fruits. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all of his gardens are producing the maximum output. Everything that he wants. وَلَمْ تَظْلِمْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. It doesn't fall short at all. So everything that he wants, if you can imagine it, this man is given the best quality of fruits, but he's also given the best quantity of fruits. And then Allah says, وَفَجَّرْنَا خِلَالَهُمَا نَهْرًا. And between all of these gardens, we have given him, we have set forth, gushed forth with rivers. So not only does he have the best fruits, not only does he have the most amount of fruits, the best quantity of fruits, but he has the lowest effort and labor required. He doesn't have to walk to a faraway lake and fill up buckets of water and drag it and have people carrying it on their heads and walk for kilometers and then throw the water on his fruit. He doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to dig irrigation, dig trenches from another river all the way to yield the water to his gardens. He doesn't have to do that. Because in between his gardens, Allah has given him a natural river. وَفَجَّرْنَا. It is gushing forward. There's a lot of water there. It's there for him. He doesn't have to do the labor. It's all there for him. The best possible setup he can have. وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمَرٌ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he had fruits. ثَمَر is fruits. But here sometimes when we say the word fruits, even in English, when we say the word fruits, we can mean literal fruits like apples and oranges and things like that. Or we can say the fruits of something like a luxury, right? We use the word even in English. We can use thamar to mean a luxury, fruits to mean a luxury. And here, because Allah already described the literal fruits, He already described the grapes, and He described the date palms, and He described the crops. This is not the reference to His literal fruits. This is saying, above His fruits, He has luxuries. We would understand this verse, وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمَرٌ, to mean He has horses. He has livestock. He has money. He has gold. He has silver. He has luxuries even more than what's growing in his garden. He has everything you can think of. Allah has given him all of it. Now what happens when a person has all the wealth that they want? This is the test of wealth. Can the wealth change the person? Allah says, فَقَالَ لِصَاحِبِهِ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا. He said to his companion while he's having a discussion with him, I am greater than you in wealth, and I am mightier and more noble than you in my children. He's saying, I have more than you, and I'm better than you. He's talking to his friend and telling him this. Now realize the other verses that are describing this garden that he has, what does Allah say? وَجَعَلْنَا, we gave him. وَفَجَّرْنَا, and we are the one who set, poured forth his rivers. Allah saying, we gave him this. But what does he say when he speaks about his wealth? He says, I have. I am better than you. I have more than you. right? He ascribes what he has to himself. I did this. I made this. I have this. And this is the way that men become feeble, deluded with arrogance. We assume it's because of my intelligence, my hard work, my genius that I have all this money. And despite all of your beautiful thoughts and all of your energy and all of your hard work, you would have nothing without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without Allah giving you opportunity. Yes, you worked hard, I'm not denying it, you worked hard. But Allah gave you opportunities. Yes, you had a brilliant idea. Allah gave you that idea, put it into your head. Everything you have came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this person assumes that it all came from him. وَدَخَلَ جَنَّتَهُ وَهُوَ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ Allah says he entered into his garden and he is harming himself. He's wronging himself. Because subhanAllah, his arrogance, no matter how much his arrogance makes him harm other people, in reality the one he is harming the most is himself. His arrogance is bringing him down. His arrogance is taking him away from Jannah, making him amongst the people of the hellfire. And so Allah describes him as being unjust to himself. Because your arrogance destroys you more than anyone else. And then he says, as he enters his garden, قَالَ مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِهِ أَبَدًا I do not think that this will ever perish. This wealth that I have, these gardens that I have, I don't think they will ever go away. They're so amazing, so protected, so beautiful, so plentiful, that I think they will remain forever. Now before Allah told us these stories, what did He tell us about? جنات وعدنا. He told us about the real permanent Jannat. The real permanent gardens, which are the gardens of Jannah. So this person has deluded himself. Now why is this the case? Why is he making this assumption? Why is he saying this? He says another assumption. وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمًا And I don't think that the hereafter will ever be established. وَلَئِنْ رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا And if I do go back to my Lord, I will find something even better than what I have here. He's making another assumption. There is no hereafter. There is no day of judgment. I don't think the day of judgment will happen. This might seem disconnected. What does this idea of there is no day of judgment have to do with his money and his wealth and his arrogance? You see, what happens is you become so engrossed in the dunya, so invested in the dunya, so singularly focused on the dunya, that the person starts to have these evil assumptions about the akhirah. He says, there is no akhirah, because his heart and his mind is so invested in the dunya. And then he says, and even if I do go back to my Lord, I will find good things over there too. Now why does he make this assumption? Why does he assume, if I go back in front of my Lord, I will have Jannahs as well? Because he thinks that since I have money and wealth here in the dunya, this means I will always have money and wealth. Because the fact that I have money and wealth here in the dunya means that Allah is happy with me. So if there is an akhirah, I'll be okay. Allah talks about this mentality in many places in the Quran. فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ Allah says, as for mankind, if his Lord tests him, gives him ibtila, tests, what is the ibtila? فَأَكْرَمَهُ He has honored him. He gave him generosity. وَنَعَمَهُ Gave him luxury. فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمَنْ He will say, my Lord has honored me. Allah tested him with money, so he said, Allah loves me. Allah is taking care of me. وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ But if Allah tests him, فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقًا And Allah restricted his money. Both are tests. The first person was tested with money. Allah gave him generosity. The second person is tested with no money, with restricted money. فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا He says, my Lord has dishonored me. My Lord has humiliated me. What does Allah say to this mentality? This is the mentality He's describing. What does He say about this mentality? كَلَّا He rejects it. No, this is all to be dismissed. And then He says, بَلَّا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ Rather, you are not honoring the orphan. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the sign of whether Allah loves you or doesn't love you is not whether He gave you money or didn't give you money. The sign of whether He loves you or doesn't love you is, did He allow you to do good deeds? Did you take care of the orphan? Did you feed the hungry? Were you doing good deeds? Because this dunya is not worth much. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Inna Allah yu'ti dunya liman yuhib wa liman la yuhib, wa la yu'ti al-iman illa liman yuhib." That Allah gives the dunya to those whom He loves and those who He does not love. But He does not give faith except to those whom He loves. وَكُلَّا نُمِدُّ هَؤُلَاءِ وَهَؤُلَاءِ مِنْ عَطَاءِ رَبِّكَ. Allah says, we give all of them, this group and this group. The believers, the disbelievers. The dunya, Allah will give it, because it's not worth much. And this idea, this prosperity doctrine, by the way, it's called the prosperity doctrine, very well known amongst Christianity. You go to the pastor and they're raising money and they buy private jet after private jet. We're trying to put flooring. They're buying private jets. And then you go to them and say, how are you doing this? You're taking all these people's money and you're buying private jets and luxury for yourself. He says, no, no, no. Look at my Bible. When I have this money, it means that God loves me. This is the prosperity doctrine. So it's actually good for me to take all this money and buy the private jets. This is the prosperity doctrine. And we Muslims have been infected with it in many different ways. Amongst those ways is we look to the people who have money and wealth and we say to ourselves, the fact that they have money and wealth and power means we should follow them. Look at the people in the West, look at this haircut, we should get the same haircut. Look at the clothes they wear, we should wear the same clothes. Okay, fine, whatever, the haircuts and clothes are not a big deal. But then they say, look, their women don't wear hijab, our women should not wear hijab. Look, they have no haya between men and women, there's no modesty, let us also have the same thing. Why? Because they say America and the West has all the power and the money, therefore we should follow them. It's the same mentality. Allah is telling you money and power does not mean anything in this world. It does not mean that Allah loves the person. It does not mean they are worth following. They are worth imitating. It doesn't mean we follow their footsteps. قَالَ لِصَاحِبُهُ وَهُوَ يُحَاوِرُهُ أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا. His companion now speaks to him and tells him, have you disbelieved in your Lord who created you from dust? Notice in the beginning, the first thing this man says to his friend is what? أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَأَعَزُّ نَفَرًا. He insults him. He says, I'm better than you. I have more money than you. I have more children than you. Right? Usually when somebody speaks to us like that, what happens? Our ego comes out. Our ego comes out. Somebody tells you that, my kids are better than you, my car is better than you, my house is better than you. What happens? You get upset. Your house is garbage. Your kids are this. Right? We want to respond back to him. He doesn't respond for himself. When does he respond? When the person says there's no akhirah. And he says, "Akafarta, are you disbelieving in your Lord? Are you rejecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ? Are you rejecting the one who has created you? And by the way, this mentality is the way of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Prophet Aisha says the Prophet never got upset for his own sake. Only when the rights of Allah were taken away, then the Prophet would get upset. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he's speaking up when the person is rejecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِنْ تُرَابٍ. Your Lord created you from dirt, from dust. ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ. Then from a drop. ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا. Then He made you into a man. Why is He telling him this? Because he can see this man's arrogance is overtaking him. So he's trying to humble him. One of the scholars of the Salaf, he saw a man, a rich man, son of a king or something, he's walking, he's strutting with arrogance. He tells him, Allah does not love this walk. The man tells him, أَتَعْرِفْنِي, do you know who I am? Like, I'm a big deal. Do you know who I am? He says, yes, I know who you are. He says, أَوَّلُكَ نُطْفَةٍ مَذَرَةٍ وَآخِرُكَ جِيفَةٍ قَذَرَةٍ وَأَنْتَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ تَحْمِلُ الْعَذَرَةٍ. He says, your beginning was an impure drop. Your end will be a rotting corpse. And between these two states, you are carrying your impurities. When we relieve ourselves in the washroom, this is what you're carrying. This is every human being. He's telling him, this is what you are. Why? He's trying to make him humble. So he's telling him, Allah, you are from dirt. Allah made you from dirt. خلقك من تراب. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, كلكم من آدم وآدم من تراب. All of you came from Adam, and Adam was made from dirt. So be humble. He says, لَكِنَّهُ وَاللَّهُ رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا. Rather, He is Allah, my Lord, and I do not associate anyone with my Lord. I do not do shirk with my Lord. Now what is the shirk happening here? Did this person build an idol and worship it and prostrate to it? No. Did he say the sun is God, the moon is God and worship it? No, he didn't do that. What is the shirk that is happening here? The shirk is that this person's ego is being worshipped. He is worshipping himself, he's worshipping his ego. And so he's telling him, I don't do shirk with my Lord. وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتُكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. He says, why isn't it that when you entered into your garden, why didn't you say, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ, this is what Allah willed. Meaning this came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This didn't come from me. This came from Allah azza wa jalla. Why didn't you say that? لا قوة إلا بالله. There is no power except through Allah. The Prophet said, أكثروا من قولي لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. The Prophet said, increase as often as you can by saying لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. This is a door to enter Jannah through لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Whenever you feel delusion, you feel arrogance, you feel jealousy, remind yourself, everything came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Even in our adhan, we hear the adhan, حي على الصلاة, حي على الفلاح. We say, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Why? We don't want to be arrogant in our prayer. Stand there and say, I'm the best, I'm praying. All these other people are not praying. I'm way better than all of them. We don't want to come to prayer with arrogance. We want to remind ourselves, even our coming to prayer came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even our good deeds is because Allah allowed it. إِن تَرَنِي أَنَا أَقَلَّ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا. If you see me as being less than you in wealth, as being less than you in children, this is you insulting me in the beginning, you were insulting me and saying this. If you see this, فَعَسَى رَبِّي, perhaps my Lord will give me better. فَعَسَى رَبِّي أَن يُؤْتِيَنِي خَيْرًا مِنْ جَنَّتِكَ. Perhaps my Lord will give me better than your Jannah. In the Akhirah, He'll give me better. وَيُرْسِلْ عَلَيْهَا حُسْبَانًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. And He could send against your garden a calamity from the sky. فَتُصْبِحَ صَعِيدًا زَنَقًا. And it will become smooth and dirty and destroyed. Why is He telling him this? He's telling him, why are you being arrogant? This garden that you think is going to last forever, it could go away in a minute. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could destroy it in a minute if He wants. Why are you being arrogant? And just as He's telling him this, أَوْ يُصْبِحُ مَاءُ غَوْرًا. Or the water could spoil. And sorry, could be sunken into the ground and you can't extract it again. While He's telling him this, the destruction comes. وَوْحِيطَ بِثَمَرِهِ. His fruits are destroyed. Allah spent verses describing the garden, and in two words, وَوْحِيطَ بِثَمَرِهِ. In two words, the garden is gone. And this is the indication of how quickly it was removed. How quickly it was gone. The garden he thought would be there forever. وَوْحِيطَ بِثَمَرِهِ. فَأَصْبَحَ يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّيْهِ. He started to churn his hands in regret. I spent all my money, I spent all my time, I spent all my effort building these gardens, now they're gone. فَأَصْبَحَ يُقَلِّبُ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَى مَا أَنْفَقَ فِيهَا وَهِيَ خَاوِيَةٌ عَلَى عُرُوشِهَا. And the ceiling of the garden has become its ground, it's been turned upside down. وَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُشْرِكْ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا. And he says, how I wish I didn't worship alongside Allah anyone else. وَلَمْ تَكُنْ لَهُ فِئَةٌ يَنْصُرُونَهُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ وَمَا كَانَ مُنْتَصَرًا. And there was no group that could aid him or help him against Allah, nor can defend him. He was boasting about all the children that he has and all the power that he has, and nothing could help him when the time came. فَأَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ أَسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Today, in the past few days, there have been students, as many of you have heard, protesting in different universities across America, colleges. Many of them are protesting the genocide happening right now in Gaza to our brothers and sisters. And they're protesting that their universities are invested in this state that is committing genocide. And in return, these students, many of whom are Muslim, are being told, if you do this, you won't get a job. They're being told, if you do this, you'll be blacklisted. If you do this, you'll be expelled from your school, you'll be banned from your campus, you won't be able to finish your degree. All of this is threatening them with their livelihood. This surah, as we said at the very beginning, the Prophet ﷺ said, one hadith, whoever memorizes the first 10 verses, another hadith, whoever memorizes the last 10 verses, will be protected from the fitna of ad-Dajjal. One of the ahadith about ad-Dajjal says that when he comes, he will threaten people with livelihood. So much so that the people who follow him will get rain and those who don't will experience a drought. Understanding this, it becomes imminently important for us to understand the lessons of this surah. That rizq, money, is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Your sustenance is determined before you were even born. And there's no one, not a university, not a billionaire, not a media outlet. There is no one who can determine your rizq. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does so. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ رُوحِ الْقُدُسِ نَفَتَتْ فِي رَوْعِي أَنَّ نَفْسًا لَنْ تَمُوتْ حَتَّى تَسْتَكْمِلْ أَجْنَهَا وَتَسْتَوْعِبْ رِزْقَهَا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Holy Spirit, meaning Jibreel alayhi salam, inspired within me that no soul will die until it fulfills its lifespan. No one can take your life before your time. And it receives its sustenance. No one can withhold the wealth, the money that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has portioned for you. It's not possible for you to die without you drinking a single drop of water that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote that you were going to drink. It's not possible for you to die without a single dollar or penny to enter into your account that Allah had written for it to enter. If it's written and decided, there's nothing you can do to avoid it or miss it. And if we know this, then why succumb to these threats? Why lower your voice? Why avert your eyes while they commit and support and fund a genocide? وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوعَدُونَ فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌّ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in the heavens is your sustenance and all that you have been promised. And then Allah takes an oath. فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ. By the Lord of the heavens and the earth, indeed this is truth. Your rizq is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your sustenance is with Allah azza wa jalla. This story reminds us that might is not right. Having the money and the power and the influence doesn't mean you're right. Doesn't mean you're on the right path. The man had the two gardens, doesn't mean he's on the right path. And no matter how great their wealth appears to be, no matter how large their money seems to be, if it doesn't have barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's insignificant. It will blow with the wind. At the end of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, at the end of the story, Allah azza wa jalla tells you, هُنَالِكَ الْوَلَايَةُ لِلَّهِ الْحَقِّ. There, the authority of Allah, the wilaya of Allah, the guardianship of Allah is in truth. In the moment that he needed his wealth, where did it go? This is the protection of Allah. They act like they control the world. They act like they control everything. But the wilaya, in truth, is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The true control over this world is with Allah azza wa jalla. And when the believer needs it, Allah will give it to him. And when the disbeliever needs it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deceive them. هُوَ خَيْرٌ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ عُقْبًا. This is the best reward, and this is the best result. The best result is for the believer. Believe in Allah azza wa jalla, have this taqwa of Allah azza wa jalla, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of His servants. He created you, He's the one who's going to sustain you and to protect you.